It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland on this Thanksgiving week, and appropriately this week, Daniel, you wanted to talk about joy and grief this holiday season. Yeah.
Thanks. Being thankful and being maybe not so thankful. But there's a mix. We're going to all be getting into some kind of a group Thanksgiving, holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. It's going to bring together joy and grief.
Mm-hmm. So, the holiday season is a great time to develop your personality.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some things that we've talked about before a little bit on the show and just kind of put them in a different context, a different light. And, of course, people that have heard the show, or if you haven't, these shows are podcasted at the Bible-Based Counselor website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And you would find there a couple of previous shows that we've done on personality and relationship, personality and marriage. And so we're sort of taking that same some of that same information and applying it in this holiday season. So, yeah, holiday season is a great time to further develop your personality. I think a lot of times people don't realize that we can develop our personality, or, you know, we've all heard of personality disorders, and the traditional belief is that you can't help somebody with a personality disorder, but we've talked about in the shows before how that's possible. It's a lot of work. But sometimes it's possible. There are degrees of disordered personality, and but the way that you make your personality more healthy or enlarge your personality or your person is by being centered really in other people and not so centered in yourself, which is the core of a personality, those defense mechanisms. So, we're in the company of people, and there are people who are joyful, and sometimes maybe if I'm the person that's grieving, it's hard to be around people that are joyful. And I've even had holiday seasons in my past where I have been miserable and I haven't wanted to go to the holiday celebration. Or other times when you're feeling pretty good and you're at a holiday season and somebody is kind of down in the dumps and moping around, and you don't want to be around them.
As kind of an aside, tell us again, why do the holidays seem to bring up so much emotion in our lives? Is it just because we're seeing people, that family of origin stuff just is so intensified during the holidays? What's going on?
Yeah, I think probably the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas primarily, are times when we come together, there's really an intimacy there. It's typically families coming together. So your families are kind of rejoining. So coming from the four corners of the country, mm-hmm. or whatever, sometimes and other parts of the world, and coming back together at those particular times. And so when you have gatherings and they're about Thanksgiving, joy, and Christmas, they're celebration times, but inevitably, things have happened during the year to some people that have been sad, you know, loss of a loved one, many things that have happened. It could be anything from a death in the family to divorce to someone deployed for the holiday season. And so there's sadness and remorse and grief there. And it's just inevitable that in any kind of a crowd, there's going to be
loss of a job. Yeah, there's this expectation, and we're supposed to be joyful and thankful and having mm-hmm. fun, and we're supposed to keep up appearances like mm-hmm. never before, but these things just magnify. Yeah. Hey, things are or are not going so well in our lives.
We put up decorations and we make special food, and it's a time of celebration. And yet, in any gathering, there are going to be people who feel like they just don't feel like celebrating, but they're there because they maybe feel obligated, or maybe they don't want to be alone, but they feel alone in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage people to look at these as whether I'm the person in the crowd that's rejoicing or the person in the crowd that's grieving. This is a time to enlarge my capacity, and God can
And you
use
say that,
that
capacity is learning to have empathy.
Well, yeah, we've talked about in shows, in the personality shows before, there are basically three building blocks to growing your personality, and those building blocks are empathy, that is empathy being a literally meaning a physiological response to someone else's sadness, or it could be joy, their experience. And so what that implies is that I'm not centered in myself. I'm centered in that other person, and their experience is meaningful to me, meaningful enough that I have a physiological response to it. So it could be your heart beats faster, or if the person's grieving, you actually have sadness, so your neurology actually changes because you hear that other person's sorrow. Now, obviously, if that's happening, you really have to use the term, let it get into you. You have to be vulnerable in a sense and let that other person's story have an impact on you, and that other person's experience have an impact on you. So you can't be self-centered. So empathy is kind of crossing over that line and being centered with the other person. The other two are shared reality, which is somewhat like empathy. Obviously, if you're empathizing with the person, it involves a shared reality because you're having to listen to their story, hear their story, and let it have that impact. So it's a shared reality and also shared boundaries. And we've talked a little bit about those. We'll talk a little bit more about them today as we go through this. You know, the Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And so
that's kind of like the fundamentals of what empathy is.
Yeah, it is. That's what we call empathy. Mm-hmm. You know, there used to be the word sympathy, and then the ideology of empathy was it came along three or four hundred years later. It specified a little more clearly. So today we think of sympathy as pity or feeling sorry for, and empathy actually involves my doing something about it. At least I have a physiological response. So it's a deeper sense of really enjoining that person in their story, whether it be one of joy or grief. So we say empathy is one of those three building blocks of healthy personality. This is good for the holiday seasons. It's good for the year round. It's good for families that are struggling with behavioral problems and communication problems and what have you to understand that these are personality problems, personality conflicts. Every conflict in a relationship is a personality conflict, because that's what's in conflict is the different personalities. Mm-hmm. So this is good information about, okay, well, how do I redirect my personality? How do I grow my personality and get past if I'm a person that seems to be quite often in conflict with other people? I need to learn how to grow that personality. The holiday season is a great time because you're going to be together with people from different extremes. If I'm happy, they'll be sad people. If I'm sad, they'll be happy people.
You bring up these examples. When you are joyful, is it easy to grieve with someone who's grieving? And you would say, no, you don't want to be pulled down.
Yeah,
how do you feel about people who are grieving in a celebration? So talk about that.
Well, so we can, let's chat about
don't
a little bit about
out.
That.
Yeah. Heavy downer.
Yeah. So first of all, if you're the person that's joyful and you show up at the Thanksgiving celebration and one of the relatives or a friend, or maybe somebody's brought a friend, and person's kind of moping around, and you know, our natural inclination is to stay away, kind of like, you know, quarantine that person off somewhere in a room where they can be sad by themselves. You don't want their sorrow to spoil your party, rain on your picnic, so to speak. Yeah. But we can use it as an opportunity to grow, because not only good for that person, good for myself, but good for my personality, which I will take out of this experience and hopefully have grown by it. So yeah, we have that feeling. So what is required in empathy? Well, it's, as we mentioned a little bit before, it's part of a shared reality.
What do you mean by shared reality? Why is that so important to empathy?
Well, shared reality is hearing that person's story. Because when you empathize with a person, you're empathizing not with the physical body. You're empathizing with the story that's occurred. And so the shared reality is taking the time, making the effort, the choice, and focusing on that other person and understanding that there is a story there, and allowing yourself to, in a sense, put yourself in that person's place and walk through that story, you know, in a sense, yourself. How would I feel if that were me, you know? How must that feel for that person? Instead of quarantining the person and their story, you allow yourself to walk through the story with them. Mm. And so you're sharing their reality. And so it's done by information. Telling the story, sharing information is the step toward sharing reality, of course. So telling stories, sharing stories, sharing information, and we say here empathy and active listening. Empathy is letting go of my defense mechanism and letting that person's story actually have an impact on me. And the other part is active listening, and this can be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, what
sometimes.
Does that mean, active listening?
Well, a lot of times when we'll take the first step toward being with that person, and I take the first step toward being with that person, but when it starts to go, you know, I say, how are you doing, Mark? And you say, well, I'm not doing very well. And you start to tell me the story, and I say, yeah, okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I've got some other people I've got to talk to. So, or I could say, tell me more about it. Well, I don't want to say tell me more about it because I don't want to get tied down here listening to your sadness. So I'm going to kind of turn the page and move off. Active listening would be not only inviting you to tell the story, but drawing it out. Now, mm-hmm. of course, you can go too far. You can get to the point where you're, you know, intrusive and downright nosy. So it requires some sensitivity. But what I'm listening to in the sensitivity, I'm keeping an eye on my own resistance. Am I not asking the questions and drawing it out because I don't want the person to feel to be embarrassed, or am I not drawing it out because I don't want to take the time to do it because I want to get on to the party? Mm. So I'm trying to be sensitive to that. So there's a balance point in all that. But yeah, it's sharing personality. Active listening is drawing, not only having that person share their story, but interacting with the story. There are degrees of that, but interacting with the story, you know, that must have been terrible. That must be really hard. So drawing more out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it requires sacrifice, patience, compassion, mm-hmm. understanding, mm-hmm. caution. That's all personality growing mm-hmm. kinds of feelings. So it's a very good for you to mm-hmm. put yourself in another person's shoes and actively listen to what their situation is.
Yeah. Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Well, obviously your time is sacrificed, and I might even feel like I'm sacrificing a little bit of, I wanted to come here and be happy, and I've got a bit of a downer going on here. Patience, that goes along with the active listening, because the person is telling me, you know, I've been in circles like that, and I'm sure you have too, where there's a person who maybe has a bit of a personality, a disordered personality, and they, no matter what group they're in or crowd they're in, they really don't get help. They just seem to suck the life out of you. So sometimes it takes some patience and, again, some wisdom. There is a time, I think, to move on, and you know, I've given the person some time. But I think the thing to be, you know, remember that we're trying to this is good for me too. It's not mm-hmm. just, it's not just a service to this person. I'm trying to grow my personality, become a larger person here too. So that would be sacrifice and patience and compassion and, you know, understanding, and then we've talked a little bit about implied caution too, mm-hmm. When to go if I've gone too far. So,
interesting discussion this week and a timely subject, joy and grief this holiday season. Perhaps you're going through kind of the holiday blues right now in your own life, and you need to talk to somebody about it. Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. He specializes in helping people. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. A lot of people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast this week, Joy and Grief this holiday season, dealing with that in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along on the journey this week and heading into Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons here, and a timely subject, joy and grief this holiday season. And Daniel Pryor trying to give us some tips on having empathy and the building blocks of empathy, mm-hmm. and you wanted to continue this.
Yeah, the joy and grief of holiday, because there's always typically both, a little bit of both in any kind, in any gathering, family gathering, church gathering, or whatever. And so we want to recognize our interaction with people. If I'm the person that has joy, an interaction with the person who's grieving is a way of building my personality,
mm-hmm.
and we can get, it's just a great time to practice these things.
So you think you're doing something nice for somebody else, but it's also helping
you. It's also helping me. Mm-hmm. And so this effort that we're putting forth is going to result in expansion of my personality and development of my personality and that person's as well. And deepening of relationship, because, you know, when I expand my personality, again, is why I've explained in some previous shows. And if you go to the podcasts at the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, you will find two other shows, earlier shows. You know, you sort of have to scroll down in that because there are several and then there are pages behind that. So, but there are a couple on personality and that kind of explains this in more detail. But when I expand or enlarge my personality through empathy and shared reality and shared boundaries, the very nature of that process brings me into contact with other people who have done the same thing.
Mm.
And that's called relationship. It's the overlap of those, my kind of journeying or my departing or my venturing out from the core of my personality, my defense mechanisms, and I meet other people who have had the courage and gone through the process of venturing out from their security needs, and then we have a relationship. So, it's a total change of paradigm, too, because I'm no longer focused on myself and my needs and my security. I start to focus on other people, and that's when your world gets larger. And so that's a great thing. Anyway, so we go... care. We're talking about care, and that's a choice. And insofar as it's a choice, it's a boundary, because boundaries are the rules that we live by. We're going to go in and talk about when you're the joyful person, but when you're the sad person, is it easy to rejoice with people who rejoice? And you just think about, I'm sure that there are people listening to the show right now who are coming into this holiday season and they really don't feel.
Mm-hmm.
You almost feel sometimes that you don't want to show up.
Why don't you want to show up because they're so bummed out about something.
Yeah. And so when you're the person that's sad, how easy is it for you to just kind of feels like you're abandoning yourself? You know, you go into the party feeling alone anyway, because you've got something has happened in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I know of situations of friends who have medical problems that have come up just recently, or families that have had legal things come up.
Mm-hmm.
There have been divorces recent. There have been loss of life. There have been maybe loss of jobs. So people, this has happened to you and you're coming in. You don't feel like rejoicing. It's not going to be easy for you, but you have to recognize too that this is an opportunity to grow your personality. It takes a lot of courage.
Mm.
When you feel that you're alone, the tendency is to go toward the center of that personality, toward the defense mechanisms, toward the fear, and just kind of hunker down and be in self-protect mode.
Mm-hmm.
But giving out of our need is a really wonderful thing. It's one of the things that God encourages us to do in Scripture. When we give out of our, it's called the sacrifice of love, the sacrifice of joy. And just trusting God that He's going to fill your need and expand your borders in that. Again, if you feel like you're abandoning yourself because you walk into it already alone, and now you're going to have to, you feel like you're having to set your need for security and just kind of protecting yourself. It's sort of like if you hurt yourself physically. You know, I used to be a carpenter, so my example here is I hit my thumb with a hammer, and so which happened lots of times. And so what happens is you grab a hold of that thumb and you kind of pull it to your chest, mm-hmm. and you're waiting. And we do this in our emotions and our personality too. When we've been hurt, we kind of want to hold on to ourselves and don't want people in. it hurts too much to be letting people in. The challenge here then is to, you're not really abandoning yourself here. Think of it as taking yourself and putting yourself in God's hands.
Mm.
And now he's going to take care of the self while you do a little work for him, which is going to be to rejoice with people who are rejoicing. Now, there's, just like the other case, rejoicing and there are sad people, there's some balance here. There might be a time at the Thanksgiving dinner when you can be off by yourself, but I wouldn't make it for very long. It's not doing any good. You know what grieving is? We've talked about this before. Grieving is the question, answering the question, what did I lose and what do I get to keep? When you're at a Thanksgiving or a Christmas celebration, the answer to that question looks a little bit confused. You're not really sure because you don't really have time to sit down and think your way through it and ponder it. There's a lot of stuff going on. Maybe somebody's saying you're feeling kind of hurt and somebody says, here, why don't you help set the table or why don't you help? And you know, that's not what you wanted to do. You kind of wanted to be alone in your head and taking care of yourself. Ministering out of your need. God will take care of the self. Put it in his hands and go ahead and do this. And it'd be a time of growth. So it'd be a sacrifice of love, sacrifice of joy. And God will fill your needs. Of course, God doesn't abandon.
The Bible uses that term too. We bring the sacrifice of praise.
Yeah. And of course, God doesn't abandon us. So the process would be the same here. One of empathy. You don't think of it this way, but if I'm grieving, to empathize with a person who is rejoicing is to let their joy have a physiological impact on me and actually be a part of their joy, to rejoice with them, even though in my own life
but
I don't
feel
like rejoicing.
This is hard. This is not an easy thing. No. And when you're bumming, it's like the last thing you want to do is hang out with a bunch of people having fun.
Yeah.
Because maybe you're embarrassed, you don't want to bring them down. But you're saying it could be a real personality growing experience.
And I think that
to get over yourself, sort of,
and to trust God with yourself, to trust God. You know, I'm not abandoning myself. I'm giving myself to God. He's going to take care of that. He's at the Thanksgiving celebration too, and he's there because of you, and he's there to protect you and to, you know, to be, you know, have. That intimate relationship with you, it doesn't hurt, and it actually helps to empathize with other people. You know, no pain, no gain. So this is a time when I'm hurting and I give out of my need, I make the choice to rejoice and be happy with the people that are being happy, and just setting myself aside for a period of time.
Well, this might be a different topic to expand on. This idea of thankfulness, I mean, obviously heading into Thanksgiving. But again, forgetting about yourself and thanking God for all the good things in your life, counting your blessings. These are all very therapeutic things that we do to honor God. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, God blesses us. And
I'm sure you've done that where you've just kind of taken a hold of yourself in a time of sorrow and said, you know, I have things to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. I've done that many times, and I'm always amazed at how the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And then first thing you know, you're thinking, well, you know, I have some sorrow in my life, but I have a whole lot of things to be thankful for.
Well, it's a very timely subject this week, joy and grief, this holiday season. And, you know, I'm gonna have to put this into practice myself. I lost my father recently, and it's going to be my first Thanksgiving without Dad at the Thanksgiving meal. And I think we're all going to kind of be bumming out. What about in that situation when everyone's kind of down and down?
You know, when those things happen, it's, you know, kind of stick to the recipe here. But I think that people should know, too, that if you're one of these people that's had a significant loss, and this is like the first holiday season, the next one will be better. The first one is always, I had a situation where a loved one of this family disappeared and they never did find where she went. And the police never knew what happened. And that first Thanksgiving and Christmas, because this person who disappeared was kind of the, you know, the organizer and the person who was sort of like held the family together, and now the person's gone, and so people are just kind of wondering where they belong now. You know, what are we now? So that had to go, and the first Christmas had to go by, and the first birthday parties had to go. The second Thanksgiving was a little different, a little better. Now they're on the third. Now it feels a little bit more like, you know, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So you have to get through those times.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good. This is a good way to...
Well, it's a great way to actually grow your personality. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? Joy and grief this holiday season. If people are maybe going through this holiday season, the holiday blues are really catching up with them. They need a little bit more intensive help. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, call me at 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, as we said, and also the website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Has the articles, so various articles.
And the podcasts on the Bible-Based Counselor
Correct.
Website.
Mm-hmm.
Great information always. Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, and the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.